getting the first question.
Yes, I appreciate that. I campaigned for Mitt Romney in college to the point in which our fraternity was featured in the Washington Post saying, "This frat's for Romney." That's my background. Since then, I'm more of an independent. I'm a certified crop advisor in the state of Iowa and nationally, so I have spent the entirety of my career focusing on agriculture. This is America's breadbasket. Top producers in corn, top producers in soybeans. That might change with this administration kind of negotiating for us. The soybeans may go. Anyway, I want to address the cancer rates that you are mentioning that are true. So kick this one right off. Avid outdoorsman as well, to the point where in April, my wife and I went to North Bear, you know exactly where that is, to catch a fish that is native to the state that has not existed here in over half a century with trout. And that comes into water quality. Farmers agree that water quality has to be better because that is our most valuable resource besides the land that the sea is in. Looking at the scope of agriculture right now and the scope of water quality, there are a lot of fingers being pointed, blaming farmers for overuse of nitrates where lawn care companies are totally getting overlooked. Besides the point, looking forward, Franklin County is a very ag-heavy based county. And our farmers are feeling it, our families are feeling it when the market is impacted. That being said, to improve water quality, it takes resources away from farmers as far as fertility that obviously hits their bottom line. So looking at your state park reference, which is a pretty cool skate park, we got to see that. What are your strategies moving forward, if elected into office, to help bridge that gap between the big three cities you mentioned, pointing their fingers at agriculture for the nitrate issues, the water quality issues, the cancer issues, while not putting the farmers on the back burner and telling them to completely change their
lives? Right. I'm glad you asked that question. I'd like to preface on it too. We've had a lot of town halls where people have a lot to say. And I actually encourage that. Because I think a piece of democracy, we're not just here for you all to ask me a question, we're here to listen to each other, right? And I think that that's important in democracy, that we all hear from each other. It's not just me telling you what I think, it's you all sometimes airing your opinions and what you feel and what your perspective is on something. When I talk about agriculture in the state of Iowa, one of the things I emphasize is that the main problem here is politicians, actually. It's not farmers. Why do we know that? We know that for a few reasons. Like you said, survey after survey, including one that just came out 3 weeks ago, says that the large majorities of farmers are concerned about the impact of agriculture on water quality and want to do better. Okay? They know this. They want to do better. Let me tell you what they're doing in order to do that. Almost every single conservation program every year has more farmers who put together applications for cost sharing to improve conservation than politicians allocate money to pay for those cost shares. So farmers are saying, hey, I put hours into putting together this plan. Here's what I want to do. Here's where I want to do it. I'm ready to do it. I will pay my part. I just need somebody to help me out with it. I believe that helping out is reasonable because it benefits them and it benefits us, does it not? But politicians don't fund the programs enough to actually do all the projects that farmers are saying, raising their hands and saying, we want to do this. Right? I think that's wrong. This is a huge issue in the state of Iowa. People want improvement in water quality, and that includes farmers. And to your point, too, you know, a lot of this is material that is part of their bread and butter. If they're having soil loss, that means there's less soil. We have 25% of the world's Grade A farmland, less soil to grow crops in the future. That doesn't mean that there's not bad actors. No matter what profession you're talking about, there's bad apples in every bunch, right? But what we need to be doing here is actually working together to resolve this issue. There are people in this state of Iowa who just want to blame and punish. You know what I want? Clean water. If we got clean water, and then someone said, well, can we do some blaming and some punishing? My next top priority would be cleaner water. This should be true for all of us. The number one thing we want is not trying to assign blame, but address the issue. We need to be working together to do that. How do we do that? Mostly by supporting farmers. A lot of the folks that are farming right now are struggling. No, I mean it. I mean it, and it's okay for you to feel differently. It is okay. 90% of farm income goes to the biggest 10% of farms. The vast majority of people who are out there are struggling to get by. They're mostly going to lose money this year, partially victims of their own success. When you've got that big of a yield, your prices are going to be lower, but it also has to do with the policies of this administration. Now, if you represent the state of Iowa, you would think that you would be standing up against these tariffs. Out of six people representing the state of Iowa in Washington, D.C., only one has the guts to say anything. It's Chuck Grassley. Good for him. He's willing to do it maybe because he's saying YOLO. You only live once, and he already has. God bless him, whatever the reason, but he's the only one talking the truth. And he says it looks like the 1980s. I was a kid in the 1980s, but I know what it meant. It meant so many farmers were going bankrupt that many of them committed suicide. This is not what we want for our neighbors. This is not what we want for our friends. This is not what we want for people in our community. How
are you? Okay. As you know, farmers in the No Keeping State protest, and I just read this morning on this guy that there are some red states that are going to deploy the National Guard.
Can you pull the mic? Thank you.
Am I too far? Did you hear anything that I said before?
I heard you said No King's protests and there might be National Guard.
Deploying that in red states. Have you heard anything about Governor Reynolds deploying? And should we be concerned and speak on the kind of should that be done?
Sure. Look, I have not heard what happened in Iowa, right? My top concern when it comes to peaceful protest is I want protests to be peaceful. I want public safety to be paramount. And the National Guard should be used sparingly and only when absolutely necessary. Why? Because it costs taxpayers money and it also costs the members of the National Guard their time and their safety and their time away from their family. You want to talk about what this all comes down to? A lot of it, but it's not, and I will say this, right? I don't know what they're hearing. If I'm governor, I'm going to do it. If the National Guard needs to be deployed, it's because public safety demands it, and it's because the Constitution and the law make it allowable. Period. I don't care who the president is. I don't care if in the second half, if I'm elected in the second half of my term, there's some Democrat governor who says, I want you to deploy, or it's president, sorry. If there's some Democratic president who says, well, I want you to deploy the National Guard, I don't care what they say. I'm going to look at what public safety says we should do, what's the facts on the ground, and what's the Constitution say.
I just have a quick follow-up on the first question. A lot of the ways that farmers can do better come from federal government funding. I'm just wondering what you might be able to do as governor and what we can do in the state of Iowa to help improve the water quality and to get farmers the help that they need so that they can do it.
Yeah. Good question. One of the things that we can do at the state level, because she's right, the funding question for conservation programs largely is from the federal level. There are a lot of other states and other organizations that have certification processes that farmers can use to boost their income, and those same certification processes that boost their income also improve performance in terms of water quality and also what the Biden administration was calling climate smart agriculture. Now that program is still continuing under the Trump administration, I believe. I think they called it something else because it's America in 2025, and if it's a good idea that you call it one thing, the other party's gonna have to call it another thing. But we should be doing that, and the state government can actually help farmers connect to those markets to boost their income by doing things that are good for everybody. That, to me, is a pretty easy piece of this. Here's another piece. We have a tremendous handoff of agricultural land that is going to happen in the next 10 years in Iowa. One of the biggest land transfers in history, because our landowners are pretty old and None of us live forever yet. We want to have more people out on the land farming, do we not? I think we all understand, right? When you grow up in the county seat, the way I did, the way most people here did, you know, your county seat's doing okay, but boy, those little towns out in the county aren't doing so well. The big reason is there aren't so many people out there in the countryside. There's not as many farmers on the land. They're not coming to town to get their hair cut. They're not coming to town to share a cup of coffee, right? That rustic brew. If we can get more people out there, that's good for all of our small towns, and it's good for rural Iowa. Good.
I'm a director at a small school district to the west. We have a superior school, I think, and I'm very proud of it. But being on the board, we are having a harder and harder time making our budget work. And 2% doesn't happen, and our insurances and everything keep going up. And I just wanted to know your perspective on how you see Iowa schools in our region.
Yeah. We should be funding public schools, not paying for the wealthiest people in the state of Iowa. This is, can we talk for a minute? And I don't mean to be rude, but I want to be plain spoken. Can we talk for a little bit about how dumb this law is?
Yes.
If you, can I give you all a piece of advice? If you're paying someone to do a thing that they would do for free, stop. Right now in the state of Iowa, the vast majority of the money going into the school vouchers program is to pay the wealthiest people in the state who are already going to write that check for tuition anyway, weren't even going to hardly feel it, to do what they were going to do anyway. Why? Our local school districts are telling us, we are struggling, this is hard, we are dealing with rising costs. Why are we helping other people who don't want to participate in public schools do what they were gonna do anyways? This makes no sense, right? It hurts our public schools. But let me be more clear. We talked about the gutting of the Auditor's Office, ability to find misspent money. That law is the single biggest invitation to waste and abuse in Iowa history. The vouchers bill is the second biggest invitation to waste and abuse of tax dollars in Iowa history. I'm not saying this as a politician, I'm saying this as a prosecutor and an auditor who has spent 15 years trying to have accountability for how tax dollars get spent. I sat in my office in the state capitol building. By the way, it's room 111. If you want to come in, you can see my buffalo and my deer on the wall. I like to think of it as the public sector Cabela's. But I'm reading the law. And I'm reading the law as the guy who prosecuted Iowa Film Office tax credit scandal and found the inside job that was rigging lottery jackpots all around the country. And so I'm seeing the most tremendous red flag I've ever seen in my life as I read this bill, not yet a law. Here's how I'm reading it. It says the money has to get spent on qualified educational expenses. And my head goes, oh, good, that sounds important and fair. Seems reasonable. And I read what they are, one of them's tuition. Sure, makes sense. Well, if you keep reading the bill somewhere else, there's another piece that actually says all the money has to get paid is tuition until tuition is fully paid. And I go, oh, so really we're just spending all the money on tuition because we all know what tuition's been doing, right? And then I think to myself, okay, well, if the qualified educational expenses are really for only if you got $300 left over, and the $7,200 is actually really just going for tuition, where's the restrictions on how you spend tuition? And I'm reading the law, and I'm flipping the pages, and I'm flipping the pages, and I'm flipping the pages. Do you know there's only one thing on God's green earth that they put in there that private schools cannot do with tuition once that money's paid as tuition? One thing. No rebates. That's it. So if a private school wants to be for profit and keep every penny of your money as profit, that's legal in the state of Iowa. And we're not allowed to audit them, by the way. That's another thing that the law says. So I don't know how we would find out. If the person running a private school with your tax dollars wants to take themselves and their family down to Florida in January for a vacation at a four-star resort, they can do that in the state of Iowa. If they're running a private school, they can do that with your tax dollars. And I don't know how we'll find out. So I go up to the rotunda in the Capitol building under the Golden Dome of Wisdom, right? I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm frustrated, that's because I am. And I find one of the lobbyists for the bill, and I'm walking through the bill. And I say, at the end, after I said everything I just said to you guys, so there's no real oversight. And he goes, yeah, we know, we don't want public oversight of private schools. Cool, then don't give them public money. I want public oversight of public money. The number one thing the government should be doing is telling the people who pay for the government what is happening with the money that they pay in taxes. I cannot believe that this law is written the way it is. It is tremendously irresponsible, and it makes me want to flip tables in Des Moines. So here we're going to talk about, in the course of this campaign, accountability. Let's have some oversight. Because I also want to be clear. I'm going to be level with you. I always have. I always will be. If I get elected governor, I'm going to be working with the Republican legislature. Okay? If that's news to you, good morning. Hi. It's October 2025. You're in Iowa. The Republican Party has a supermajority in the Iowa House by one seat, and they don't have a supermajority in the Iowa Senate by one seat. And those majorities, although I would like them to get a little smaller, will remain if I am elected, okay? If somebody comes to Hampton and tells you something other than that, check your wallet. I'm just being straight with you. So what can we get the same legislature to do? We're not going to get them to repeal this bill. Maybe we can get some oversight. That would put us in a better place than we're at right now. Here's what else I'd like to do. All of the people who support this bill, they say, we like school choice. I would like to call their bluff, because I don't believe that they mean it. Here's what I mean by that. You want school choice? Great. Then let's change the law so that if a kid says, I want to go to your private school, here's my voucher, you have to take them. That would be school choice, where students choose the schools, right? The way this law reads, it actually means that the private schools get to choose their students. I don't think that's what they meant. Or maybe it is, we'll find out. Here's the other way I'd like to call their bluff. Oh, you want school choice? Great. Then we're going to have a rule that says when you get $7,500 from the state, you can't just hike tuition by $7,500 and make it equally unaffordable to all the kids that couldn't afford it in the first place. Right? They'll do that if they care about school choice. And then here's the third thing. We're not going to give this to the wealthiest people in Iowa who have no need for it whatsoever, because that doesn't help school choice either. We could use those tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to the wealthiest families, and we could fund our public schools instead. We could fund, when we talked about child care earlier, universal pre-K in Iowa all day, 5 days a week.